This week on Vaticano, discover Pope Francis's trip to the city of Verona, attend the second International Bioethics Conference in Rome, explore a unique tour in the Vatican Gardens dedicated to Our Lady's Month, learn about the incredible work the Order of Malta does to support people with disabilities, and get an exclusive look at the Vatican Swiss Guard, one of the oldest military units in the world. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. The Holy Spirit is the protagonist of our life. Pentecost is the feast day commemorating the Holy Spirit descending on the apostles, the Blessed Mother, and the first followers of Jesus Christ who were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. It wasn't surprising Pope Francis focused on it during the last Mass of his pastoral visit to Verona. During his homily, the Pope emphasized how the power of the Holy Spirit can give us the courage to change our lives in a single day. Speaking before 32,000 faithful, Pope Francis explained that the Holy Spirit builds the church.
Il coraggio di vivere la vita cristiana.
While every member of the church is different, the Holy Father reminded us that we all share one heart. During his short trip, Pope Francis met with priests and consecrated men. He told them to remain hopeful and, quote, let us never lose the wonder of the call. Next, he participated in a meeting on the topic of peace. It was held at the city's historic monument, the Arena of Verona. The Holy Father explained how peace must be cared for. Otherwise, he said, there will be war, and today the world faces the grave sin of not caring enough about peace. In a moving, symbolic gesture, the Pope hugged both an Israeli and a Palestinian man. Both have lost family members during the violence in the Middle East. Later, the Holy Father spoke to inmates at the Montorio prison about the tragic phenomenon of suicides while behind bars. This, he said, is a sad act to which only unbearable despair and pain can lead. He emphasized God's mercy and forgiveness.
Grazie.
In Jerome Lejeune, the world met a man for whom the defense of life became an apostolate. The charism Dr. Lejeune had been given had been lived in evangelical service to Christ and to Christ's little one.
The threats to human dignity and the sanctity of life that Jerome Lejeune strove so mightily to resist have intensified. The events adopted an interdisciplinary perspective, scientific, ethical, and rational, on major issues in genetics, biotechnology, and neuroscience as they relate to human life and health. Topics included genetic editing of embryos for therapy or enhancement, prenatal diagnosis, assisted reproduction, surrogacy, artificial wombs, three-parent embryos, synthetic biology, euthanasia, neonatal palliative care, gender dysphoria, and hormone treatment for minors. This conference aimed to enrich scientific debate through a perspective grounded in human nature and natural law. Bishop Robert Barron and American author George Weigel contributed via video messages.
The threats to human dignity and the sanctity of life that Jerome Lejeune and John Paul II strove so mightily to resist have intensified. We may hope and pray that Jerome Lejeune's historic and heroic virtues will be officially recognized by the Church so that he may join his friend, John Paul II, among the ranks of the beatified and canonized.
The second International Bioethics Conference, held in Rome on May the 17th and 18th, focused on contemporary bioethical challenges, inspired by the thought and legacy of Jerome Lejeune on the 30th anniversary of his death. The conference highlighted the richness, depth, and relevance of Jerome Lejeune's thought, hoping it would illuminate today's bioethical challenges and help preserve human dignity in all circumstances.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. Chinese Catholics live in unity with the Holy Father in Rome. Pope Francis emphasized this in a recent video message. He called on the Catholics in China to bear witness to their faith and to contribute to the harmony of social coexistence, to the building of the common home, as he said. The video was published during a conference to mark the 100th anniversary of the Concilium Sinense, the first and only council of the Chinese Catholic Church, which was held in Shanghai in 1924. The Vatican said it would take no further canonical procedure after an investigation into abuse allegations against Canadian Cardinal Gérard Lacroix. There is no evidence of misconduct or abuse. Lacroix is the Archbishop of Quebec and member of the Council of Cardinals that advises Pope Francis. He was accused as part of a class action lawsuit against his archdiocese regarding an abuse case almost four decades ago. The Cardinal has always denied the accusation. The month of May marked the 80th anniversary of the bombing of the Benedictine Abbey of Monte Cassino in Italy. During the Second World War, the abbey was completely destroyed on May 18, 1944, and rebuilt after the war. Thanks to the help of the Vatican, the majority of the literary and artistic treasures were brought to Rome and safe from destruction. Monte Cassino Abbey was founded in 529 by Saint Benedict of Nursia, who was also buried there. After returning from the Catholic parish in northern Gaza, Cardinal Biebattista Pizzaballa described the situation in the Holy Land as complicated. He underlined that it is important and urgent to give immediate and concrete answers in order to assure the Catholics living in Gaza that there is a future for them. The Vatican announced that Pope Francis will visit Luxembourg and Belgium at the end of September. The Pope will make a one-day stopover in Luxembourg before visiting three cities in Belgium to mark the 600th anniversary of the Catholic universities of Leuven and Louvain-la-Neuve from September the 26th to 29th. Pope Francis is expected to preside over a Sunday Mass in Brussels before heading back to Rome. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Andreas Tonhauser for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with a tour of the Vatican Gardens, dedicated to Our Lady's Month.
And so Our Lady placed the roses, she arranged them in the tilma of Juan Diego. And the moment we see on the statue is the moment when he finally arrives to see the bishop and he lets the tilma fall. The roses, as you can see, fall to the ground. But instead we see an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is miraculous in many ways.
Throughout the month of May, the Vatican Gardens are opening their gates for the second year in a row to pilgrims from around the world for a special tour in honor of the Blessed Mother. Created last year in collaboration with the Vatican Museums, the pilgrimage, titled May with Mary, includes 10 stops at some of the most important images and statues of the Madonna in the gardens. Offered every Wednesday and Saturday, the visit is led by Sister Emanuela Edwards and allows pilgrims to immerse themselves in the beauty of the Vatican Gardens by walking past the various Marian images found throughout the Vatican's beautiful grounds.
Through our trip, we will meet some of the most important shrines to Our Lady. For example, the Grotto of Lourdes, the image of Our Lady of Fatima, the Madonna of Guadalupe. So we see some of the most important images, but also there are images from all over the world, and so we find also in the garden devotions from Latin America, from the Philippines. And so what can we say? It's international.
The Marian grottos, frescoes, and statues featured in the May with Mary tour are connected to the devotion of people across the globe who have turned to the Queen of Peace in times of war and struggle to invoke peace. For this reason, the pilgrims stop at each Marian shrine to pray for this very same intention.
Given the state of our world today and the call from our Holy Father being so incessant for peace, this year we've decided to offer this mini pilgrimage for peace. And so at each sanctuary of Our Lady, we say a Hail Mary for the intention of peace. And throughout the visit, I underline the places where Our Lady has intervened in the story of humanity to bring about peace.
In addition to the exclusive tour given in the Hidden Gardens, pilgrims visiting the Eternal City have also been able to join in a candlelight rosary procession every Saturday in May, as part of numerous Vatican initiatives for the month of May in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. During his pontificate, Pope Francis has, on many occasions, reminded the faithful of the importance of honoring Our Lady and of praying the rosary.
Hemos rezado el rosario.
We have recited the Rosary, a very beautiful and vital prayer. Vital because it connects us to the lives of Jesus and Mary. We meditated on the joyful mysteries, which remind us that the Church can only be a house of joy.
No one really can live as a Christian without knowing the Mother of God, because God has willed that we should come to know and love Jesus through Mary. It is through Mary and through her yes at the Annunciation that salvation has come into the whole world. It's through Mary's yes that creation was renewed.
Once skeptical of all things Marian, Catholic convert Father Lawrence Liu today travels the world preaching the Holy Rosary and teaching others to love the Blessed Mother. As the promoter general of the Holy Rosary of the Dominican Order, he combines his passion for theology and the sacred arts to inspire Marian devotion through retreats, books, and international missions.
The Rosary is a presentation of the mysteries of our salvation in a nutshell. It's not the chronology of Christ's life that we're looking at, but really the theological story of what Christ has done for us. Christ becoming man, dying for us, and rising again that we might rise and be divinized with him.
Reflecting on the fittingness of praying the rosary during the blossoming month of May, Father Lawrence explained that the English word rosary comes from the Latin rosarium, meaning a garden or garland of roses. And so, in the most literal sense, the rosary is a beautiful garland of flowers that we offer to our Blessed Mother as a spiritual bouquet of prayers.
But the other thing is, we have a beautiful tradition in the Dominican Order that says that, in fact, the rosary and the idea of the rosary comes from the Latin word ros, which means dew, like little dewdrops. And the idea there is that St. Dominic was told that heresy would not be eradicated until prayers rose like dew from the ground. And so this beautiful idea that as we pray, we're praying spiritual dewdrops that would bring refreshment and new life to a parched world. The world becomes parched by sin. And we know that, you know, our world is becoming very parched because of violence, division, warfare. The rosary, therefore, is all the more needed that we might water the earth with the dewfall of God's grace.
For centuries, the Catholic lay religious order of Malta has taken care of the sick, the poor, and people with disabilities. Every year, people from around the world participate in the order's traditional Lourdes pilgrimage. the knights, dames, and volunteers bring sick and disabled people to Our Lady of Lourdes. Antonio Zanardi Landi also traveled to Lourdes this year.
That was a great, it is every year a great thing, and this year it was particularly beautiful and particularly moving. I think we had more than 7,000 pilgrims, and I don't know the exact figure, but I think that's at least 800 wheelchairs. So it was quite impressive. And you know, the Order of Malta is one of the oldest religious orders of Christendom. But after the loss of Malta, the order went back to its original charisma, which is healthcare and assistance and welcoming displaced people.
Together with his wife, Sabina Cornaggia Medici, the ambassador decided to start a project for the order also in Rome.
Can you explain to me again the concept here?
So the concept is to help these kids with mental disability. I mean, they're usually kids which have medium range disability. They're not severely handicapped. They're kids that can learn and probably they can learn to live on their own. And at the same time, they will be taught how to run an Airbnb. So they will learn some skills that hopefully after 2 or 3 years, we are going to help them finding a job in a proper hotel in another situation so we can train some others.
So it's really not about just helping them in the moment, but enabling them to live in an independent manner.
Exactly, that's the idea.
Each of us has a unique trait that keeps us going. And by staying together, we learn to be stronger.
The couple collaborates with experts from a cooperative. They've been helping people with disabilities for a long time. They suggested to enable people with disabilities to learn how to earn a living on their own.
Work means also dignity. That is why everyone here aspires to be able to have a job.
I'm very excited to be here and to embark on this journey. But most of all, to experience being away from home. So it's an exercise in responsibility. I feel very proud.
The idea for touristic apartments was born. Here, Marco and his friends could spend their days, supported by tutors, and service the apartments. But not just any apartment. The initiators learned that only 2% of available tourist apartments are fit for wheelchairs. They decided to build accessible places. Sabina Medici is aware that her project for the Order of Malta is a small initiative. She hopes that others will take notice, especially as more tourist accommodations will be needed for the upcoming Jubilee 2025 in Rome. To her and her husband, working with young people with disabilities brings a lot of joy. And also, the beneficiaries seem happy. Next on Vaticano, we start our series on the Pontifical Swiss Guard, introducing you to the life and service of the young men who recently swore to give their lives to protect the Pope and the Holy Church. The schedule of events for the swearing-in of the new Pontifical Swiss Guards began in the morning with Holy Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. It was celebrated by Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who gave his homily on behalf of the Holy Father, Pope Francis.
May your service be carried out with genuine faith, simplicity of heart, and purity of intention. Aim to work every day to criteria and faithfulness, lest you succumb to the enemy's blows and capitulate to his false suggestions.
The 37 new recruits shared this experience with their friends and family present.
Saluto voi, care guardie.
They won't be without a spiritual father, though, the chaplain of the Pontifical Swiss Guard, Father Columban Reichlin, as they begin this new phase of life at the Vatican.
I believe the chaplain can be an inspirer who encourages the young people to stay on the path, to ask questions, to go through life with curiosity. And I want to help them where questions arise or they are confronted with crises, to try to discover what is behind it all, what is behind it that gives life its meaning and its foundation and its goal.
Being a faithful Catholic is required for entering the Pontifical Swiss Guard. Living in community for at least 2 years at the heart of the Catholic Church serves as an opportunity for them to strengthen their faith. Looking beyond the swearing-in ceremony and into their daily lives, we follow a new Swiss guard, Gaetan, before the beginning of his shift to the Swiss Guard's private chapel, the Church of Saints Martino and Sebastiano.
Before joining the Swiss Guard, I had always been a practicing Catholic. So in that context, it didn't really change much. The thing that has changed, I think, is the consistency. And above all, given that we have orderly schedules and often very regular schedules, it's a little difficult to always be able to keep a daily routine. Personally, how can I talk about spiritual combat at the guard level, at the level of, I think it's common, whether we are the guard or not, having to get up in the morning when you are still tired, not wanting to go to Mass? I think that every Catholic and even every person who has to go to work in the morning knows this. So it's true that sometimes it happens to me on the Sentinel to have moments, as they say, at moments of a little emptiness where we don't really know what to do. And there is often the opportunity to enter into a dialogue, of entering into a discussion, and of giving oneself completely to speak with God. Personally, it often helps us.
I can try to inspire them through the worship, the service, Holy Mass, etc., through education and so on. This way, they get ideas that they can then ponder during long night shifts, questions they can pursue. On average, about one man per year who returns to Switzerland chooses a spiritual path afterward, meaning he wants to study theology or even enter a monastery.
Accelerating this vocational discernment by modern standards is the fact that each of these young men has already taken an oath, even to the point of having to lay down his own life for the Pope and the Holy Church.
C'est pas seulement une cérémonie où on va jurer et
it is not only a ceremony where we will swear publicly in front of people, but it is above all a personal act that we do. And in the formula, we also mention God and the patron saints of guarding, in the sense that it is really an act before God, before it is an act before people. For me, it is. It's a very powerful thing. I think it's an honor, but also a very unique honor, that we have as Swiss and as Swiss guards.
On the next episode of Vaticano, we take you to the Apostolic Palace, where the new Pontifical Swiss Guards receive their first private audience with Pope Francis, and go behind the scenes for a closer look at the required training to protect the Holy Father and the Vatican.